Michael, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate the chance to chat with you about New World Beat. It's a fascinating series. I really think it's interesting how you brought it all together.
Thank you.
Where did it come from? Where did the idea begin?
I was a musician for many, many years before I did anything to do with, before I got involved in the film scene. And I would think every single time I was on a bandstand sharing with any other artist and band, I would think any one of these people deserve their own documentary. And always noting that the scene in Toronto specifically was just so unique and robust and weird and electric and incredible. And these people were my friends, but I also revered them. And I just knew that they just needed to have more of, and I should also say that a lot of them didn't have any label representation. A lot of them didn't have any management. They worked at coffee shops. They were in their parents' basements. Like it was not, it's not, there's, Drake and The Weeknd, and then there's everybody else. But that everybody else is this like hotbed of unbelievable talent. And then I was on a Cross Canada tour with a band, and the label asked us to tape some tour footage with like old crappy digital cameras. And we did that, and that footage turned into a music video, and that music video turned into a bunch of more music videos, which turned into some commercials, which turned into television and film, and here I am. And it's kind of a really great sort of easy organic path in that, yes, I'm now doing full-time film and TV, but I always have had and will continue to have my feet in the music scene. And with this show specifically, it's a lot of people who I'm quite friendly with, and it's also people who I've known from afar and revered and was even slightly nervous to approach, but thought this is going to be a great opportunity to finally work with. And here we are.
You know, it really is true. Like this, I feel like the music scene in Toronto is one of the things that people know the least. You know, when we hear about Toronto, we don't often hear about it. I mean, you're right. Drake and The Weeknd and everybody else is sort of the vibe. Hey, isn't it great for them? And it is that they made it big. But in the city, it feels like every corner has its own sort of heartbeat to it that's so unique and with different flavors. And having grown up here, I'm not even sure why Toronto? Why is this particular space so pregnant with musical talent?
I think it's a number of reasons. First thing that comes to my mind is that it's a university town. And within these universities, there are a lot of a lot of music programs. And so that brings in a huge amount of young talent, 17, 18-year-old kids who are just so buzzing with talent, and they're just starting to get their chops together, and they want to have their first crack at playing live. And that's one thing. Another thing is that it's the most multicultural city in the world, and there's so many different pockets of it, and people are playing versions of themselves that they grew up with, and things that are based on their cultures and their religions and their own different type of friend groups and little mini scenes. I was kind of thinking about earlier how we've branded the show as kind of the Toronto music scene in the singular, but it really is, it's a misnomer, is that there's multiple scenes, is that the GTA is so big, and that if you go to any various pocket, the sound is going to change, and the taste is going to change, and the feel and the vibe is going to change. And so one of the things that I wanted to do with the show is like go from all of these different pockets, from this corner to that corner to that corner to that corner, and not only have the viewer be introduced to an unbelievable musician who represents that little nook, but also give them a figurative and literal taste of that part. We go to Scarborough to watch afros, go to her parents' house to make traditional West Indian roti. It's like it's not just about the music, it's about the whole thing. It's about the humans behind the music.
That is so apparent. And I think that I love the blend in the series. Like we're sitting there, we're sitting having these conversations. Forgive me, your wonderful host. I forget what her name is.
Lydia.
Lydia
Yeah,
is
yeah.
just having incredible conversations with such a diverse group, and then invites them to perform So it's not a music show, but it's not a people show. It's really about stories, which I think is comes out.
It's very much about stories, and it was very intentional that it wasn't just going to be a show of performance after performance after performance, because that would lose all context and meaning and power. You, the viewer, have to understand who this person, this artist is, and where they came from, so that now you have been kind of ingratiated to that person, so that when you're listening to their music, it kind of makes sense on a spiritual level. You know, and that's a huge part of it. The other thing too is I really do believe it is kind of both beautiful and radical to witness two musicians speaking in a non-superficial way for, you know, 45 minutes in length, is having really nuanced conversations about music, about art, and how all these other factors within their life is infused into the art that they make. It's like you don't see that on television. That was one of the main reasons why we wanted to capture it the way that we did.
And the way that you bring it together, that you juxtapose them, I think is interesting as well, because it weaves their stories together intentionally or not. You know, you've got James and you've got, I mean, John, Charlotte, and they're all in the first episode alone, and they're sharing their stories, and you start to see threads that connect them along the way, and you have the spirit of creativity, but coming from entirely different voices, and I think that's really fascinating to see that come out.
You know, one of the things that became apparent in the pre-production and then became really apparent in production and post is that we're all human beings and that we all have a story and we all have ups and downs. And the way that we kind of structured the edit is that we present three different people and they're from three different walks of life and they have three different unique points of view. And then it slowly unfolds that there's some version of tension or struggle that they are a part of. And then the rest of the episode is about how they face that struggle and fight that struggle and work with that struggle to then achieve some version of a catharsis. You know, if you think of James Bailey, what his upbringing was in the church, and then feeling alienated and ostracized. Well, what could be more cathartic than going back to the church that made him feel those feelings and become one with it while bringing his new identity inside of it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and you get to see these stories of people pouring into their art out of their story, out of their suffering, and out of their struggle. And it's interesting, you bring up James, but there, I know also other musicians come. In the second episode, I can't remember their name, forgive me, but it's they talk about meditation, and
Oh
bringing
yeah,
that
Kyla.
Kyla bringing
Yeah.
meditation into her music, and there's this conversation about offering more to the audience than just a sick beat, if you will, if I can get away with saying that. But
Yeah.
what does that mean to you? I mean, you're a musician as well. What is it that we want that you want to offer to your audience?
Well, let me just talk about Kylie just for one second. One of the reasons why I love what she just to answer that question that you're asking is that her struggle was that in the middle of the pandemic, it didn't make sense to write a conventional song that went, you know, AABA verse, verse, chorus, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus, whatever. She needed to do something that was more, you know, that felt more true to what she was experiencing and going through. And she did it. And there was, I think, a bit of a fear there, which is, okay, this is different. Are people going to like this? You know what? Let's do it. Like that is the struggle and that's the catharsis. And then we get to witness it in real time. And that type of story is just as valid as James's, just as valid as, you know, Charlotte Cornfield's talking about, you know, venues and gentrification and all of those things. Yeah. Sorry, what was your other question?
What is it you want to offer to an audience through your music? Because you know,
Yeah.
we hear these stories and it's more than just, I want to come up with something great. It's, I have a gift to give to you.
Yeah. I'm a couple things. I want to give the viewer a front row seat into A, the Toronto music scene, but also an authentic view of Toronto itself. People that come here go to the CN Tower and the aquarium and a Jays game, and then they leave. That is one tiny slice of the experience that is Toronto. This is not what that show is. This is people who live here and may have lived here for their entire lives, who have strong feelings about the city, who love this city that may or may not love them back. And we want to show that. And that's part of the grit and the stank of this city and living with it. The other thing too is that I really wanted to present a show that was completely devoid of all competition. I don't like competition. I do not like competition in art specifically. I've told this to a few people, but when I first got hired onto the show, the original concept was supposed to be a reality singing competition show, like a Canadian Idol. And I requested to the powers that be if I could pitch something else that might be a little different, might be a little more unorthodox that we haven't seen before, but might be pretty darn special. And, you know, to my delight, they went for it. And with that, that was kind of my North Star, which is that let's just get together and talk about music and play music. And through those two actions, we're going to see so much humanity, so much community, so much spirit, and so much love. And that was kind of the intention.
You know, and it's interesting you use the word community too, because I mean, you hear these stories of these artists and they're with other artists, you know. So what was it like working with them and, you know, all these connections? And it seems to be that's part of the Toronto music scene is not only just having your own sound, but mixing them together. Is that the case?
Big time. You know, everyone in the show, A, has a different sound and a unique voice, both, you know, speaking voice, but also musical voice. But no one is siloed. No one is only doing their thing and not checking out something else. Most of the musicians in the show know of and have even worked with the other artists in the show. And that makes it feel like a very cohesive, entangled, and sort of held vibe of the show, where it's like, yes, th this city is so big and there are so many musicians, and I would have loved to have included way more musicians. But at least with the people that we included, you get to feel a really good representation of the sound of the city.
Absolutely, absolutely. That there's such a broad spectrum. And one of the things I think is an interesting conversation that pops up off and on throughout the series is safe spaces. You know, we hear creatives and they find a way to express themselves through their music, but that's sort of a safe space. That's what they're looking for, is a safe space for them. And I'm just wondering, in your perspective, what does it mean to create a safe space for the creative soul?
It means that we are going to cultivate an environment where each and every artist is able to do and say and play and feel and think and be whatever they want without any version of judgment. It's my job as the producer and director of this show to bolster those feelings and to amplify that and to make them, you know, feel as comfortable as they can to be whoever they can. Performing and playing is an incredibly vulnerable thing. It can sometimes, when people feel a little embarrassed to sing or to play, the reason why people feel embarrassed is because they don't feel safe. They feel like it's not safe. They feel like people are judging me and watching me. And that is inherent in the act of performing because you don't always get to control who you are performing for and where you are performing. When I was in university, here's the perfect example. One night, I was playing at Massey Hall with my band, and it was one of the greatest nights of my life. The next day, I was playing at a children's birthday party at a carpet factory, and boy, did they hate it. You don't know what you're going to get. And that's part of the fun, and it's part of the insanity of it. But I, as a musician turned filmmaker, am in this sort of unique position to say, hey, musician, I want to bring you in to my world and I want to jam with you. You know, these are two different mediums, music and cinema, but it was one of my intentions to see, is there a way to artistically jam cross media? And that was part of, I think, the result of what you were watching. That's why when you watch the show, it kind of feels like the live performances are cinematic because we are working with what their intention was with their music, with their artistry, and with their lyrics and whatever they wanted to bring forth. We thought long and hard about how to present that.
And you know, I'll even go so far as to say I think your structure is jazz-like. And I don't know whether I hopefully you like jazz, but I say to me that with the best of intention. But you know, you don't do 3 20-minute or 3 15-minute blocks, is what I mean. It's not like, okay, we're gonna work with this artist now, this artist, now this artist. You're moving around constantly and you're giving them that opportunity to express themselves. I had never thought of, and even thinking about the music scene, like you said, I've always believed that artists offer themselves, but I've never thought about the changing audiences, and you can't control that every night. So when you create something, you really are sort of releasing it freely out.
It's not yours anymore, you know, in an instant. And so, you know, it was really a joy and an honor for me to get to kind of construct with the artists and with my crew these spaces, these safe spaces, as you were talking about earlier, that are beyond safe space. It's like these are these imaginary worlds where we all get to kind of transcend together into something really beautiful and, you know, dare I say, spiritual.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You get that sense regard for each one of them. It's definitely a spiritual experience. Like I said, they're connecting. It's more than just a song that they're offering. The series is great. I know, or not I know. I think I heard somewhere that for you're looking at future seasons beyond the GTA. Is it going to be truly a new world beat?
I think if we can make a successful version of New World Beat, why couldn't we do, you know, New World Beat Toronto? Why couldn't we do New World Beat New York and New World Beat São Paulo and Washington and Timmins, you know, and Whitehorse and all of these places? Is we, me and my crew, we want to explore the world, the province, the country, the world, to find people who are doing something incredibly unique. And present them to an audience that they may otherwise not have gotten to have.
I love that. That's a great. And how can people find the series?
The series is going to be on television starting premiere tomorrow, Wednesday. Oh, sorry, I'm tired. I just had a kid two weeks ago, so I haven't
Oh
slept
my
in a
gosh.
while.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's Wednesday, March 27th at 10 p.m. Consecutively for all six episodes. Every 6 weeks at 10 p.m. And I believe starting tomorrow at the same time, all the episodes are going to be online at tvo.org. And
Wow.
TVO has been an amazing partner, and we love them a lot, and we want to keep working with them.
Well, honestly, I really hope you get the chance, Michael. Thank you so much for your time, and
Thank you.
series is great, and I wish you the best.
Thanks a bunch. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Thanks.